see each other. Thank you guys for coming out tonight. For all you guys here in person, thanks so much for coming out tonight. And any of you guys that might be tuning in online, a little bit different Sunday, but I'm excited because, man, God's word might have been delayed a little bit today, but it is not going to be denied. Amen. And I believe God's got something in store for us, and we really just wanted to make space to gather for you guys. We showed up. We were about to get ready to rehearse and get everything ready, and the power went out this morning. And so we're like, all right, God must have something good for us when that happens, right? When it's on a Sunday morning. And so glad that you guys are here with us. We are in week 3 of our series, Daniel, Godly Living in an Ungodly Culture. And I don't know about you guys, I'm really enjoying this series. We're going chapter by chapter through the book of Daniel to see literally how can we, us in today's age, live a godly life in the midst of, as you guys know, a very ungodly culture, right? And by show of hands, how many of you guys have been here for at least one of the 2 weeks so far? Let me see who I'm talking to. Many, majority of you. Awesome. In case you're just joining us or maybe you missed a week, we've covered a lot of great ground so far. Just a quick recap. Week 1 was Daniel chapter 1, and it was God's way, not culture's way. And we kind of got introduced to the whole book of Daniel there. We saw how Daniel and his 3 friends were taken captive out of Israel, out of their homeland, and brought into captivity in Babylon by King Nebuchadnezzar. We learned that Babylon was a very pagan culture. It's a very godless culture, ungodly culture, right? They did a lot of things early on to just attack these Hebrew boys, right? To change their names, attack their identity and who they were, right? Tried to indoctrinate them by 3 years of training to get them away from their God and into the culture of the Babylonians, right? They presented them to eat the king's delicacies, the food that was not according to the law of Moses, right? But how many of you guys know they did not bow? They did not succumb to that. They stood strong and they stayed true to their faith, and they were 10 times better because of doing that, right? And we learned week 1 that God's way is always better than culture's way. Amen. Last week, Pastor Erica did a phenomenal job with week 2, chapter 2 of Daniel, on how to respond to earthly authority, right? And so chapter 2 primarily deals with a lot of just King Nebuchadnezzar's dream, right? Of that statue that kind of represented all the different kingdoms, right? That would eventually fall. God's kingdom always prevails and will be forever, right? And then God, we saw, gave Daniel the ability to not only learn the dream, but to interpret the dream for Nebuchadnezzar. And through, we learned that through wisdom, honor, and prayer, you and I can have godly influence even under an ungodly government or regime. Amen. And so if you missed either of those messages, I really encourage you guys to go back, watch those, listen to those. We're kind of building on each other each week. But today, we are moving forward. Amen. We are in Daniel chapter 3. And God has kind of placed a message on my heart to share with you today titled Faith Through the Fire. And so if you're taking notes tonight, Faith Through the Fire. We're going to learn what our response is when the heat and the pressure of culture is on, and how to stand firm for God and have faith through the fire. It's going to be great. Let's pray one more time. Would you join me as we go before God and open up his word? Father, we thank you so much for our ability to gather here together. Thanks for getting the power back on in the facility and all the tech working. Father God, we thank you that your word is going to go forth boldly. We desire to be a bright and shining light in the midst of a dark culture and world. Lord, we want to stand firm even when the pressure, even when the culture is trying to squeeze us and burn us and turn us. Father God, we thank you, Lord, that we can stay true to you. And as we look to your word tonight, Holy Spirit, speak to us, exhort us, challenge us, encourage us to the core, and show us how to stay strong in the midst of an ungodly culture. Lord, we believe it. We receive it in advance by faith. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. And everybody agreed, said, amen. Awesome. Well, hey, if you brought your Bibles to church, go ahead and turn on over to Daniel chapter 3, or maybe scroll on down to Daniel chapter 3 if that's what you're about. But real quickly, just a reminder of where we're at in Scripture as we go to Daniel 3. Remember, last chapter 2, the book of Daniel, he had just interpreted King Nebuchadnezzar's dream, and he and his 3 friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That is a mouthful. Just disclaimer. I might call them SMA for the rest of the message, all right? Because like all, every scripture verse I'm about to read and every point talks about them, and that's just a mouthful, right? So SMA is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You guys cool with that? Is that cool if I kind of, all right, I'm just trying to make this thing quicker, right? Praise God. But they had just, got promoted in Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom, and many Bible scholars believe that when we get to Daniel chapter 3, sorry for that buzzing back there. We will take care of that. Our emergency light is all freaking out. It's got like a devil or a demon. We'll just rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Be quiet, right? It didn't like the power going off and then coming back on today, but we'll preach through it. But basically, when we get to Daniel chapter 3, many Bible scholars believe that Daniel and his friends had already been ruling in their promoted positions with Nebuchadnezzar for about 10 years, all right? So things have been going good-ish, right? And they've been ruling and they got promoted. And then King Nebuchadnezzar puts them in a very compromising, very uncomfortable position, right? And we're going to take a look at this here. So we're going to just read through majority of chapter 3. We might pause along the way, summarize what we're reading, and then I've got some points for us all to leave with. So if you guys got your Bibles, Daniel chapter 3, starting in verse 1, says, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and its width was 6 cubits. And he set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. And King Nebuchadnezzar sent word to gather all the satraps, administrators, governors, counselors, treasurers, and judges, and magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So the satraps and the administrators, and all those kind of important people, we'll skip through that there, gathered together for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Verse 4, then a herald cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, that at the time you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the lyre, and the psaltery, and the symphony of all the kinds of music, that you fall down and worship the gold image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. So at that time, when all the people had heard the sound of the horn and the flute and the harp and the lyre and the symphony and all kinds of music, all the people and the nations and languages fell down and worshiped the gold image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. We'll pause here. So basically what's going on here, King Nebuchadnezzar, we can call him Nebi for short too, right? We got a lot of nicknames in the book of Daniel here, just to keep it quick. He builds this golden image. And if you study out like the lengths and the heights, it's 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide. Now, some scholars believe, remember in chapter 2 when he was the gold head on the statue of one of the four kingdoms, he might have taken that a little too far. That literally might have went to his head, and he might have built this 90-foot statue of him. Like, come worship me. Or it could have been another pagan god. We don't know for sure. But this thing was huge. This thing stuck out like a sore thumb. And he was like, hey, every time that we play the music, everybody in the land and the province needs to bow down and worship it, right? And if you don't, we're going to throw you in what we call the burning fire furnace. We'll talk about that in a second. So that's the culture and the context right now. Let's keep reading and see what happens next. So picking up in verse 8, it says, therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews. They spoke and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, the lute, or the flute, the harp, the lyre, and the psaltery, and the symphony with all the kinds of music shall fall down and worship the gold image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And there were certain Jews who you've set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, is it true, SMA, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image that I have set up? Now, if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, the psaltery, and symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I've made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who deliver you from my hand? So what's going on here? So King Nebuchadnezzar's officials, they come to him, they kind of tattle on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Hey, you know those dudes you promoted in your kingdom? Everybody's bowing down and worship, but they're not, right? And so they rat them out, and King Nebi calls them in to ask him and kind of call him on the carpet, is this true? And if you're not going to bow down and worship, then we're throwing you in the furnace. Let's take a look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's response, starting in verse 16 through 18. It says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. I like that. Whew! Told you it's going to get a little spicy and hot week three, all right? Right? In other words, they say, no, we will not bow down, King Nebi. We will not worship that idol, and we will not worship your gods, no matter what, right? And we're going to come back to this response in just a few minutes, but let's kind of finish out chapter three so we have the whole context, and we'll pull away what God wants us to. So picking back up in verse 19, it says, then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression on his face changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace seven times more than it was usually heated. Woo. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. And these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace was exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took SMA to the furnace, right? Then these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? Then they answered and said to the king, true, O king. Verse 25, look, he answered, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Someone say, Jesus. Woo! So what happened here, right? King Nebi doesn't like SMA's response, right? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? He gets hot, literally gets hot, and he says, turn that thing up seven times hotter than we normally do, right? And I don't know about you guys, as I've always read this over the years, I always wondered, what is the fiery furnace? Anybody ever had that question? Like, I look at the Bible and I question things. It's okay to question things. I'm like, surely King Nebi is not marching these three Hebrew boys down to his basement and trying to jam him in a device that helps heat his house or his palace, right? It's not a carrier unit we're talking about here, right? No. Bible scholars believe that what would be referred to as the fiery furnace was probably more in line with being a earthen lime kiln, all right? I actually have a picture for you guys. I nerded out on this. Again, it may not be exactly what it looks like, but go ahead and show that to them just so they can kind of see these images here. So you got the King Nebi 90-foot statue, right? It might have been in front of that or it might have been offshoot there, but more important, that more earthen brick kind of clay building there. It had an open top and then one side door, right? It was like a bigger kind of furnace fireplace there. And he said, hey, if you don't bow down and worship, we're going to throw you in one of these, right? So you can take that away. But I found it interesting. The Bible, like Daniel included some interesting details. He said they tied him up and they kept them in their garments. I was like, why did you say that? I think Daniel was trying to make it very clear. These three Hebrew boys were highly flammable. Okay? They kept their trousers on. They kept their pants on. They had their turban on. They were highly flammable individuals heading into a seven times hotter furnace. All right? Do you get where I'm going? Like, they should ignite immediately, right? And so the furnace is hot. The king's men who actually throw them in the furnace is so hot, they actually get killed, right? And then King Nebi, I love this part where he looks. He says, hold up. Wait a minute. Didn't we put three in it? Right? Like, wait, look with me. I see four men loose. Weren't they bound when we went in? There's four people walking around free in there, and the fourth looks like the Son of Man. Everybody say, Jesus. Come on, somebody. I love this. And then we finish it up. Okay, so how does this finish? Verse 26, then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke, saying, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the midst of the fire. Then the satraps, administrators, governors, king's counselors gathered together, and they saw these men on whose bodies the fire had no power. The hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected, and the smell of the fire was not on them. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, blessed be the God of SMA, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him. And they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of SMA shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made an ash heap, because there is no other God who can deliver like this. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Wow. So there's a lot in here, right? What happened here in that last kind of stint? King Nebi is like, whoa, he calls them servants of the Most High God. So we see this inner turmoil of King Nebuchadnezzar kind of going pagan on us, worship other gods. But then he always comes back again to, whoa, there's no God like your God. Like literally, like the SMA come out of the furnace and the officials are floored. These guys aren't burned. They aren't harmed. They don't even smell like smoke. Some say holy smokes. Literally. Right? Like, holy smoke. You all have had a bonfire before. You know what I'm talking about, right? Your hoodie smells like that for a week and a half, right? Like, they don't even smell like smoke, right? Talk about a 180 from Nebuchadnezzar. Say, bow down and worship this statue to, there's no God like your God, right? And then at the end, King Nebuchadnezzar promotes these guys. They get another promotion, right? They're supposed to be today's barbecue, right? And they're tomorrow's promoted. Really, really cool, right? And so this is an incredible story. There's so much we could talk about, but for the sake of the remainder of our time, I want to just pull away four things for you guys, four things that will help you and I have faith through the fire, and specifically the fire of culture. Four things that will help us have faith through the fire and culture. And if you guys are taking notes, number one, the first thing we want to talk about is this. Number one, when others want us to bow, we can stand firm. Amen. When others want us to bow down and worship their stuff and their policy and their agenda and all that, we can stand firm. Amen. King Nebi's decree was to bow down and worship the gold images, but the Hebrew boys said, no, we are going to stand firm. What was going on in this culturally? Basically, it was like cultural and governmental pressure to bow down and to do something that violated their faith and their beliefs. We see what they said here in Daniel 3:18. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, no, sir. And we're going to talk about the sir part. They said, no, sir, we hear what you have decreed, but we will never, ever worship a created idol. And it shows us, I love the example and the courage here that we see. It encourages us, I hope you guys are encouraged by their example, that we can have boldness and we can have courage and we can have faith to hold firm on our faith even when the pressure and the fire of culture is trying to burn us and conform us and take us out. Amen? We can stand firm, right? In fact, I believe that more than ever, we are going to need to stand firm in these last days that we're living in, right? I mean, when you think about the culture that we're living in, it's so anti-God. It's trending towards, it's so postmodern. It's this intense pressure to conform, right, to ungodly and unbiblical morals and policies, right? We're going to need to stand firm more than ever. And Paul even exhorts us in this in the New Testament. We see this in two different places. In 1 Corinthians 16, verses 13 and 14, he says, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong. And then verse 14, do everything in love. I think a lot of us forget verse 14. We're going to come back to that in a second. Do all that, take a stand, but do everything in love. And then he goes on again in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 through 14. He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness in this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, verse 14, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Guys, I think in these times that we're living in today, we're going to, as Christians, going to need to take a stand more than ever. I believe what the church needs is not another wimpy, spineless, flip-flop with the culture Christian. What culture needs and what the church needs is to rise up and stand firm and bold on the word of God uncompromisingly. Amen? And it's hard. It's easier to shout it and be like, yeah, amen. It's hard to do because the culture is so bent against that. It's not celebrated. It's persecuted, right? But the cool thing is, which we're going to see later, when you take a stand for your faith, Jesus stands with you. Amen. And we're going to see that in the fire here as we move through this in our next point or two. But it's okay to take a stand for your faith. And we can shout about that and we can do that. Now, how that all fleshes out is really, really important. It's not so much the what of what we're standing for, it's the how we do it. We're seeing this narrative and this thread of God helping us with the how of standing firm in an ungodly culture all throughout the book of Daniel, which leads me to my second point, which I really want to camp out on for a little bit, is that number two, how we respond to ungodly leaders matters. And some of you are like, crap, I thought we talked about this last week. And that was uncomfortable, and I swallowed it down. The medicine hurt. It kind of tasted bad. It's like that, you remember that, what was that called? That grape medicine when you're a kid, Dimetap, Dimekillme. Yeah, like it's like, are you feel better? No, I just threw up. Now I have the flu. Like, now I'm sick. Like, it didn't help me, right? Sometimes we need to hear it. We don't like to hear it. Our flesh doesn't like to hear it, but I believe God wants us to hear it because he wants us to be believers that shine a light in a dark place, amen? And so last week we learned, or maybe we were reminded of, that all authority is from God, right? We saw that in Romans chapter 13, verse 1. For everyone must submit to governing authorities, for all authority comes from God. And those in a positions of authority have been placed there by God. That's a hard verse. When you start listing people that are in authority, one thing that we didn't have time to get off on that I feel like the Holy Spirit really wants to get into today is this, because this might help some of you. All authority is from God, but not all authority is going to be godly. Does that make sense? All authority is placed there by God, but not all authority is God approved, God backed, God endorsed, God. The behavior of that person, that leader, might not be godly. Does that make sense? And so you're like, what about this? There's wicked, evil, corrupt, evil rulers all throughout the Bible. And they were all allowed to be there by, guess who? God, right? When you think about Pharaoh did a lot of damage to God's people, right? Both in Exodus and the book of Romans, it says that God raised up Pharaoh. Well, what's that all about, right? And then when you get to Nebuchadnezzar, the guy that we're talking about, who's kind of the main dude throughout the book of Daniel, in Jeremiah 43:10, it says, "And say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will send and bring Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant." God spoke that. God says, Nebuchadnezzar, my servant, right? And so this messes with us in, I think, a good way. That God can place leaders in authority and they can be both godly leaders and ungodly leaders, right? Some may act more godly than others and some may act a lot more evil than others, right? But we must honor whoever he places in authority, but just because God gave them the authority doesn't mean they're going to act godly, all right? This really helps me out. I don't know if this is helping any of you guys out. I keep my heart positioned in the right posture when it comes to leaders I like and leaders I can't stand, right? All of them go through the filter of God's hand. He isn't surprised. Like, what? How'd they get in office? Like, nothing snuck by the back door of God, right? But just because they're in office doesn't mean God put a stamp of approval on them or that they're going to act in a godly way or lead us in a godly way. Does that make sense? And so, again, we have to wrestle with this and we have to use wisdom. We have to use discernment when it comes to our leaders. And, you know, I don't think anybody lives under a rock, but I'll just kind of go off on a little tangent here because it might help. We have a presidential election in 16 days. Hello. 16 days. We're like almost 2 weeks away from the 2024 presidential election here in the United States. And as you guys know, we will never tell you who to vote for, but we will, as your pastors, unapologetically tell you and encourage you and pep you up to please vote and use your voice. Amen. God gave you a voice. God gave us the right in this country. Please use your voice. I was listening to something yesterday, and it talked about how there's a Barna research report that just reported that they believe that 32 million church-going Christians are unlikely to vote in this year's election. And if you guys know anything about the election, how close it's going to be, of course, it'd only take a fraction of that 32 million to swing it one way or the other, right? So as your pastors, please, number one, vote. But number two, I think sometimes like, what? How do I vote? I want to just give you a little, can we go on the side trail for a second? I'm not going to talk about this long, but I think it's important to help pastor you. How? How do we vote? If you have no clue, if you're like, I just don't like either one, so I'm just not going to. I think a lot of Christians make that thing. That's a mistake. Because if we don't choose, someone else will choose for us. Amen? So we got to use our voice, and we can't complain if we don't choose, right? And so number two, how to vote. Here's what I've always been taught, and here's what's always helped me out. Vote policies, not personalities. Vote policies, not personalities. Because here's the deal. Neither side's going to get it right, and neither side's you're going to be like, I love this person. Right? There's going to be personality quirks. There's going to be past history stuff that they did. There's going to be stuff that you don't agree with on both sides of the aisle. So if we vote personalities, we're going to go cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. Amen? We vote policies. Here's what I've learned. Personalities change almost every 4 years. Policies stick around for a really long time and govern our nation. And so when we vote policies, that helps us. And here's the deal. Vote a biblical worldview. Get in the word. What is it? What does the God say, right? Because here's what I hear a lot. Well, I can't stand her. I can't stand him. So I'm just not going to vote. I don't think that's the right response. Neither one's going to get it right. Which one aligns the most to what you believe of how we should live or how we should govern, all right? Again, I'm getting off on this. We don't talk politics a lot. Here's the deal. I don't think a lot of the issues are political. I think they're actually moral issues. They're not political issues. We call them politics and all the news and media, you're getting political. They're actually moral issues. Things like religious freedom, things like family, things like the sanctity of life. People put politics on them, but they're actually biblical moral issues. And God actually says a lot about all of those things in his word, so we don't have to be in the dark about it. Amen? And so all I'm saying is, hey, let's not just sit on the sidelines and complain about what's going on. Let's use our voice and let's get in the game, right? What do? We pray. We pray and we ask God. We do our research, right? We figure out what the issues and what candidate stands for each issue, and then we vote. And when I was looking up, when I was reading that article, it reminded me, if you're not registered to vote yet, tomorrow is actually the last day, either in person at the clerk or to mail in with the date postmarked tomorrow to be able to register to vote. So if you are not registered to vote, we just encourage you, hey, get some skin in the game and play, do your civic duty, honor God, and believe the best. Amen? Can I get off this now? Amen? Does that help anybody? Praise God. All right? But vote policies, not personalities, right? But back to how we are to respond to ungodly leaders. So we learn that all authority is from God, but not all authority is going to be godly or act in a godly way, right? This is key. This will help you out as well. The Bible teaches unconditional honor and submission to authority. So the Bible teaches unconditional honor and submission to authority, not unconditional obedience to authority. Is that good? This helps me. I'll say that again. The Bible teaches unconditional honor and submission to authority. It does not teach unconditional obedience to authority. So the only time that God tells us to not obey authority is when it goes against God's word. Does that make sense? That's the only time that we have a legal, biblical right to say, nuh-uh, right? Nebuchadnezzar commands the three Hebrew boys, SMA, to bow down and worship the gold image. But what do? They don't. Why? Well, if you're familiar, they came from Israel. They were in the Old Testament, so the Torah, the law, right? If they were to bow down and worship that gold statue, it would have violated the second commandment, you shall not worship or bow down to idols. So they have the ruler and the authority in their life saying, do this, and they have a choice. And they say, I am going to obey and serve God first, and not disobey the word of God. And so therefore, King Nebuchadnezzar, I appreciate you, I honor you, I respect you, God put you, I honor the position, maybe not the person and their behavior, I honor the position, but I am not gonna go back on God's word. Even if it throws me in the fire. Even if it puts my life at risk. That is powerful stuff. But the how they respond to Nebuchadnezzar got me. And it's been getting me, like, I wasn't anticipating this as we studied Daniel, but each time I get into it, I'm seeing the how behind these people are taking a stand and how they're being a godly person in the midst of an ungodly culture. And it's coming off the pages. And I believe it's worthy to be taught because I don't think it's being taught well enough or as much as enough as it should. Let's take a look at how they responded. Let's remind ourselves, Daniel 3, 16 through 18. It says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God who we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, Your Majesty, we will not serve your gods or worship the image that you have set up. They keep their cool even when the heat is on. The heat is on. Sorry, I preach in songs sometimes. Sorry. Y'all still awake? Is it good? It's not even morning. We've already had our afternoon siesta. The Lions won. We should be feeling good, right? Praise God. Let's go. Did you see what they called the authority figure, Nebuchadnezzar? They called him by his name. And then the other two times in that passage, Your Majesty and Your Majesty. Your Majesty is a term of honor and respect. I am like wrecked by this, right? They didn't attack him. They didn't get into immature name calling. I see no sleeping Nebi or crazy Nebi or Nebi the criminal or let's go Brandon obscenity started up and roaring. No, we don't see any of that. We see, oh, King Nebuchadnezzar, Your Majesty, no thank you. So standing firm, but honoring authority. I've been so wrecked by this. God said, please tell your church not to get nasty, but to get near the heart of God and respond in that way. I was like, yes, sir. Yes, yes, Lord. Don't get nasty. Get near to the heart of God. I believe we see God's heart through all of this, right? Their response should teach you and I a lot. They don't demonize the other side. They don't attack or badmouth everybody else who is bowing down to the gold statue, right? They stand firm, but they do it with honor and love. And guess what? They're a huge witness to everyone around them, right? And this is honestly where I believe so many Christians miss it, especially during an election season, right? And I've got two things that I want to show you on the screen that have wrecked me over the last week that I believe can wreck you in a good way. And just make sure and do a deep dive heart check on where we might stand on these, specifically when it comes to politics and the election and our behavior and all of that. The first one is this. I heard a minister say this. A lot of lost people have no problem believing that Jesus loves them. They just aren't sure you do. I was like, shoot. There's a lot of lost people, a lot of unbelievers out there that have no problem whatsoever believing that Jesus died and loves them. They're just not sure if you do, and you call yourself a Christian and go to church. I was like, dang, pin drop. Because of why? Because of our behavior, because of our social media shares, because of all that stuff. They're watching, right? I heard this. This is an unknown quote, but it said, our greatest challenge isn't our inability to convince unbelievers to behave like believers. Our greatest challenge is inspiring believers to behave like believers. Dang. And so what does this mean? This means, hey, people are watching. The world is watching. Unbelievers are watching. They're watching our social media feeds. They're watching our yards. They're watching the back of our cars and our bumper stickers. They're watching and they're waiting. And the how we respond to ungodly authority matters just as much, if not more, than the what we stand for. Does that make sense? That's what I'm catching from this. Y'all doing okay? Because I'm preaching to myself right now. I'm yelling at myself right now in love. Praise God, because I believe God the Father knows how to do it best. All right, let's move off this one. Please, God, let's get off this one. Y'all doing okay? Number three, when we want to have faith through the fire, the number three we see through this story is number three, who you put your faith in matters. Who you and I put our faith in matters. Daniel 3:12, there's certain Jews whom you've set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up. This challenges us. Who is our faith in? Because who and what you and I worship matters. And we all worship something, whether we agree with that or not or like that or not. We all put our devotion or our trust or our assurance or our confidence in something. And is it in worldly things? Is it in man? Is it in our finances? Is it in our possessions? Is it in political leaders and candidates? Is our faith in that, or is it in the all-powerful, almighty God who can save us, rescue us, and get us through the flames? That's our challenge, right? Another place where I think we can miss it is just simply putting our faith and too many eggs in the political party or political candidate basket. I'm just being honest. Right, one lesson that I think us Christians have done a horrible job that we have not learned in the last 2,000 plus years yet is that Jesus had no political control over the Roman Empire, yet he still changed the entire world. Jesus, the one that lives on the inside of us. And we keep trying to change our world the way the Romans did, by force and by political power, instead of the way Jesus did. And this minister I was listening to, he said this. I don't have it for the screens. I should have put it up here, but this is powerful. He said, a Christianity that believes it needs political power, a president, legislation, and a nation to ensure its survival is a Christianity that actually dethrones Jesus as the actual savior of the nations and advances a belief that even Jesus needs a nation to be his savior. I was like, all right, I'll drop the mic and just walk out. Wow, right? It's important to know your facts. It's important to vote. But regardless, our faith is not in a political party. Our faith is not in a government. Our faith is in Jesus. Amen. He is the one that will align this thing. He's the one that's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And after the next party's out and the other party's in, he is on his throne. He is forever settled in heaven. He ain't going anywhere. And none of it's a surprise. And he knows that he's coming back. Amen. But we're here on earth right now. So we have to deal with this, right? So we have to respond in the right way. But my goodness, sometimes our faith is so misguided. It's so misguided. We push it in the wrong direction. Jesus is like, I'm here. Just put your faith in me. I'll work it all out. Daniel 3, 16 through 18, right? Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego answered and said to them, King Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God, everyone say our God. Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, right? Did you hear the response to King Nebi? Our God. Where's our faith positioned? Where should we put our faith? Where should we put all our eggs in that basket? Our God in Jesus. Amen. The faith that was in God as they headed into the fire, into the pressure, into the dangerous situation. Their faith was in their God, not somebody else that would might be in power. Amen. I'm just so challenged to the core of that. No disrespect to those that lead. We have to honor them. We just talked about that in the last point. But our faith shouldn't be in that. I feel like in 2020, so many Christians' faith were in one dude, and then it like didn't happen, or it got stolen, or whatever, all this stuff. Our faith was in conspiracy theories. We put our faith in so many different areas, and we're like, God, are you still up there? What are you doing? He's like, I know exactly what I'm doing. Chill. Read Daniel. Respond like them. Don't make t-shirts. Don't make banners. Don't make obscenities. Honor and trust me. Watch it. I will always get the final word. He knows what he's doing. And so I love these guys, SMA, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. They decided and purposed in their hearts ahead of time that they would not bow. I think we can learn so much from their example, right? That you and I, we have to decide in advance who we're going to worship and who we're not going to worship. And I think 2 weeks out from a really big thing and then all the aftermath that's going to happen in the month and weeks after that, because you know it's going to be a crapshoot, right? You know, it's going to be like, we're all going to implode as a country and be divided and all that stuff. Like, it just happens every time. Like, I don't know. Were you guys around for 2020? Do you see what happened, right? Like, I'm not scared of that. I just know it's coming, right? Because one's going to say, oh, they didn't do this, right? It's like, we need to position our hearts and decide right now, even in this room tonight, who are we going to worship? Who are we going to put our faith and trust in, regardless of the outcome? Does that make sense? That will help us. That's what they did. And that's how they didn't bow when there's like, it's seven times hotter. Woo. All right. Hebrew rotisserie. All right. How do you like it? Extra crispy? Get in there, boys. Right. They're like, I don't care how hot it is. My God. And even if he doesn't, I will still never bow. That's some faith. Joshua 24:15 attitude. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. No matter what the government says we can do or can't do or all that stuff, or you should do this, or you shouldn't do this. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. But we won't get nasty about it. We'll get near to the heart of God and respond in a way that's honoring, right? I think so many times Christians put our faith in the flames, or we focus too much on the flames and the fire and not on the one that overcomes the evil and the fire, right? Jesus told us that the days would get darker and evil. Am I upset and stirred up and grieved about the direction our country and our culture is going? 100% yeah, yes. Am I shocked and surprised? 100% no. Because Jesus said it would be like this. And it will only get darker and worse. I think so many Christians can miss it. We get so bent on cursing the darkness instead of, and it's not helping anybody. It's just dividing the lost and the believer. And we curse this darkness when we should be shining the light. Because the light, the darkness never trumps the light. I use the word Trump. I shouldn't say that. Sorry. There's no innuendo there, all right? Don't read into that. The darkness never overcomes the light. Just want to make sure you guys are still awake, all right? Whew, is it hot in here? Man, seven times hotter. It got seven times hotter on a night service. Wow. Whew. But yeah, we spend so much time cursing the darkness when we should just be shining the light and responding appropriately, and we can actually lead some people to Jesus, right? When we're known more for what we are against than whom we are for, we begin to lose our influence. And I see this happen so many times. And so remember, the gospel is good news. Let's keep it good. And let's focus on shining the light brightly. There is one of our founding fathers, some of you guys might, if you're into this, John Dickinson. He said this quote, he said, "They believe that true power to change the world lay not in politics, the judiciary, or the military, but in the message of Christ's resurrection." Jesus, where is our worship? Where's our focus? Jesus. And as we head into the flames, may our faith be in number four. May we realize this. Last one for you tonight. We have another in the fire, Jesus. Come on, somebody. Number four, the thing I love about this story the most is what happened when they got thrown in the flame, right? What happened? Daniel 3:25. Nebuchadnezzar, look, he answered, "I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Guys, even when things don't look good, even when pressure is mounting against you, even when things look seven times darker, seven times more wicked, seven times more evil, right? From those of you guys that grew up and all the different generations, you're shaking your heads like, how is this happening in culture? How is this okay? Seven times hotter. Here's the deal. It might seem like evil's all around us, and it is. But remember, church, we have another in the fire with us. His name is Jesus. My goodness. My God. Even Jesus said this himself in John 16:33. He said, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace." Everyone say peace. We need some peace the next 2 weeks. Amen. How? In this world, you will have trouble. You will have flames. You will have evil. You will have tribulation, trial, pressure, flames. But take heart. I have overcome the world. I love that verse. Take heart. Don't lose heart. Don't shake your faith. Don't let the culture, the government, the election, people on the other side of the aisle, all that shake you from what you believe and who you believe in. In this life, we will experience tough stuff, but take heart and have peace because Jesus said, "I took care of it and I whooped that stuff." Amen. SMA, they were thrown into the flame. They were tied up and bound, but I love that last verse. It says, but when the fourth man showed up, it says they were loose, right? Some of us, we go into the season, we're like, oh, I'm so like nervous, and I'm so tied up. Jesus will set you free. The truth will set you free, amen? And they were walking around in there having a good old time. Man, what are we gonna go? Where are we going for dinner, you know? I wonder if the Lions are gonna win today, right? They're just walking around. They're not burned. They're not singed. They're not doing anything. They're not hurt. Jesus is able to set us free and protect us in the midst of an ungodly culture when we stay hooked in with him. Daniel 3:27, and all those rulers, I don't know how many times they say satraps, administrators, governors, kings, it's like they repeat themselves, like we get it. The important people were there. They saw these men whose bodies the fire had no power. The hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected. Remember, they were highly flammable people, right? And the smell of fire was not on them. But God. When I read this, I'm like, but God. King Nebuchadnezzar himself, after he witnesses this, he begins to preach. He says in verse 29, because there is no other God who can deliver like this. King Nebuchadnezzar says, hey, that God, the God that you, whoa, how did that happen? There's no other God that's able to deliver like this. And so guys, I'm just encouraged. I hope you guys are. I'm also challenged to the core as I read through Daniel. Like it really just kind of sifts your heart in a really healthy way. But when we don't bow down to culture, when we take a stand for our faith, we show honor to the ruler, to the governor, to the president, to the authority in our lives, and we decide to worship God no matter what, we can come out unharmed, not even smelling like smoke, not even smelling like the culture. We're called to be in this world, but not of this world. That was God's plan. He's coming back. There's a world we're going to be a part of called heaven. It's going to be amazing, but in the midst of it, in the midst of the flame and the fire, we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be scared. We don't have to shrink back. We don't have to throw intentional gutter balls so we don't stir the pot, but we can do it in a way that honors God and is a bright and shining witness to the world around us. And I believe that is what the world needs. They don't need another yard sign or another bumper sticker or another Insta reel. They need Jesus. Gosh, we need Jesus more than ever. But we will be on this earth. And if we're on this earth, we will have rulers over us, godly ones and ungodly ones. And it's part of the plan. God's not surprised about it. But again, we do have an opportunity to voice our opinion in 2 weeks. And we do have an opportunity to pray and do our research and not just who you voting for. I don't know. I'm going to vote for either. He said this on Instagram. He's like, who get vote policies, not personalities. Did you guys catch that? Because the media will spin it all different ways, every different angle. All right. So get in and figure out, what are they saying? And where do they stand on some of these moral issues? Again, not political issues, moral issues. What was God's word say about that? And which one aligns the best to it? But man, when we obey God and we choose honor instead of disrespect, and we put our faith in God and we allow God's power to go in our work, go to work in our lives, we begin to see protection. And we see God's power on display, and we even see promotion. Because at the end of the story, the last line, and Nebuchadnezzar promoted SMA. By the way, you're still alive. How? And let's up you a little bit. Their influence, our influence increases when we do it God's way. Our influence decreases when we do it the world's way. And so I don't know about you, I want to take as many people to heaven with me as possible. And I know that people are watching me and my attitude and my words and my response on how I'm approaching the election and even all the rulers that are currently in my life. And so I don't want to screw up my witness because of an opinionated, I get a little hot. Yeah, praise God, right? It's like, man, we want to stay the course, stand firm in the faith, in the midst of the fire, because we have another in the fire. God knew we couldn't do this without his help, right? I don't know about you guys. I need Jesus more than ever, especially during election season. Jesus, more Jesus. Okay, got to double up. Okay, just watch the news. More Jesus, right? Doom and gloom, this, that, he said, she said. Woo! It make you go crazy. Jesus. I believe he's honored when we honor his word. And I believe he can show up and show out when we do it his way. And that's what I love about this story in Daniel 3. Just normal dudes living their life, but uncompromising the word of God in their life. And also knowing the word of God is to honor all authority and uncompromising on that. And just doing it and showing up and being faithful and doing the little things over and over and over. They don't die. They get promoted. God's got that for each and every one of us, no matter what our context is. Amen. I believe God wants to encourage us and give us the grace and the strength to approach that. And just, I was praying all day today. Today was so weird because like I was super ready to go this morning and then we couldn't. And I'm at home like trying to watch football and I can't because I'm like, I got to preach. And so should I go practice my message again? Should I go pray? So I'm just like, and I got into a prayer river. I was just like, man, this is cool. I was just praying for us. I was praying for you guys. I was praying, who's coming tonight? Like, who's actually going to get off the couch after the Lions win or lose and come to church, or who's going to tune in, or, you know, what's going on? And I just began to pray, and my heart was so moved. I was like, Lord, make us a church. A church is not a building or organization. Make us a people that respond like this. How could we be a church all unified to respond like SMA, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? To stand firm in the midst of an ungodly culture, but to do the honoring and the respecting and the tone, that's hard to do. That's supernatural. We need God's help. We can't do that in our own strength, in our own flesh. And so I felt like, he's like, yes, pray for the people, pray for your church, pray for yourself, because we've got work to do, amen? As a church, as a body, as Christianity, I believe we have a lot of work to do in this area, but it just takes one day of faithfulness at a time. One day of, hey, I'm gonna honor God, I'm gonna honor the King, I'm gonna do my best, I'm not gonna compromise, I'm gonna take a stand, and I'm going to see God move in some supernaturally powerful ways in our community. Amen. Would you guys join me as I pray? Because I don't know how else to end this except, Lord, help us be what you called us to be. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in faith tonight. We're so grateful and thankful for the opportunity and the space to be able to get into your presence and to worship you and to open up your word. And Father God, I'm so moved, I'm so marked. It's like just keep getting in your word and walking through Daniel, Lord. I'm just seeing these themes, Lord. Yes, stand firm. Put a stake in the ground for the Lord and his word and for your faith. Yes, but the how, Lord, help us with the how. Forgive us for going off the rails sometimes in a hot fit of rage or anger, the things we hear on the news, the things we see, the things we experience, the way it's affecting us personally. Lord, I get it. It stirs our flesh up so much that we just feel like we got to let something out. We got to let them know and speak our mind. It's a free country, freedom of speech. I'll do it anyways. Lord, forgive us for that attitude, because sometimes that's not what you would do. It's not what we see in your word. Dishonor, name calling, and condemning and demonizing the other side that doesn't believe or think like me is never God's way. So forgive us, Lord. Forgive us of that. We repent of that today. We want to have a God culture, a God heart. Let us not get nasty. Let us get near the heart of God in these next 2 weeks and beyond. Let us shine the light brightly and even love people that have different signs in their yards and different flags in their yards and different ideas and opinions and are super vocal on social media and you're like, I can't stand it. Lord, help us hit our knees and pray. And maybe not say anything at all publicly for the world to see. Because if sometimes we don't have anything nice to say, Father, help us not say anything at all. But Father, I thank you that there is so much power and anointing and grace when we choose to do it your way. And so, Father, I just sense, man, you're just reaching into our hearts tonight. If you're watching online or watching this later because you missed this morning, I believe God's doing a work in all of our hearts, whether you're driving to pick up your kids or you're driving to work or coming home or, man, all the kids finally went to bed and you have a moment of quiet and you're listening to this or wherever season you find yourself in, I believe God is speaking clearly to all of us right now to put our faith and trust in him and him alone, to worship him and him alone and not to bow to any culture, any policy, any position, any agenda that compromises the word of God. Father, I thank you for that grace and that boldness. Lead us and guide us. Give us your wisdom from heaven. And as we take a stand firm, like Paul said, stand firm in the faith, be strong, have courage, and do everything in love. Lord, help us do everything in love. Because truth without grace is mean. But grace without truth is meaningless. So Lord, that's hard. Help us walk the middle way, the higher road, and operate in the gifts of the Spirit, even during election season, where there'd be patience and love and long-suffering and self-control would be the fruit of our lives and our tongue and our social media accounts. And Father God, I pray that you would shine brightly through us. And Lord God, that people would notice. I guarantee all of Babylon noticed SMA if they came out of those flames untouched. Father God, I pray that we would not bow and we would not bend, but we'd stand firm in truth and in love. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody agrees, said, amen.